Well, it's good to be back. BJ and I had the pleasure of going to Florida, spend time with our son and his wife, and as Brad says, I know you didn't come down here to see me, you came down to see the grandkids, and I'm not going to deny that's a key motivator. But we had a good week, a time of refreshing, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to be able to share with you this morning. As we were worshiping this morning, the Lord reminded me, and Trey mentioned about life being in Jesus. The Lord quickened to my heart, Big John, first chapter, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, my translation says, comprehend it. A better rendering would be overcome it. And I want to say to you this morning, as we go through this teaching today, that if there are things that are you're resisting and that are darkness, then just know this morning that as you receive this word, now that's a key point. You don't want to just hear me talk. You want to hear the Holy Spirit talk and reveal it to you. As you hear this word, this light comes inside you, it will overcome whatever the darkness is that is coming against you. The darkness cannot stand. It always succumbs to light. Let me also tell you that as I was praying this morning early, the Lord ministered to me that he wanted us to pray today for people, and we'll do this at the end, for anyone who's been told, you know, that's just the way it is, you're going to have to live with this. And I'm not just talking about real serious things, because the Lord cares about the little things in our life. So for some of us, you know, we may have been told you're going to have to live with this finger that's not going to quite move properly, or just something minor. But we're going to pray for you today. And I believe anything that we've been told, from little something to big something, that you're just going to have to live with it. Today, we're going to be set free from it. For the last 4 weeks, counting today, for the last 3 weeks, I've been talking during my time of ministry here about how to improve our receiving. And we talked about the fact that receiving means that I take it. It just doesn't mean I sit and wait for something to fall upon me, but I aggressively go out and take it. First week, we talked about guarding our heart. Second week, we talked about how to receive his power. And 3 weeks ago, we talked about seeing myself in his promises. All those promises that in him are what? Yes and amen. That we need to have that revelation so we see ourselves in that promise. And today I want to look at another perspective related to this that I think will enable us to better see ourselves in those promises. And what I want to talk about today is God's promises, my inheritance. God's promises, my inheritance. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis 15. And Amy, I'd like to use the New King James on the first couple of scriptures today, if you don't mind. So Genesis 15, chapter 7, talking about inheriting and our inheritance. It was in here yesterday. This is the first time that this word is mentioned in Scripture. And the Father talking to Abram says, then he said to him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to possess it. That's Genesis 15, 7. That's okay. No problem. Let me read it again to you. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. Now let me just take a second. What does inherit mean? And this is from one of the dictionaries that I got online on my computer. Inherit means to receive, and listen to this phrase, a right or a divine portion. To receive a right or a divine portion. And we're talking about, as we talk about inheritance today, we're focusing on healing, but this applies to all those promises. A right or divine portion. Trey talked about receiving our inheritance of healing. You have a right to receive that divine portion that appropriates healing in your body. And then I want to define inheritance. Two things. It can be the act of inheriting that right or divine portion, or it can be something that is or may be inherited. So if we talk about our inheritance as something future, then that's one way to talk about it. But it's also the act of receiving, and that's key. Now, in the New American Standard for this verse, the translators translated, I'm going to give you this land to possess it. And so that says to me that inheriting is not just something we're looking forward to. It's something we want to lay our hand on and possess. It's kind of like what receive in the Greek means, lambano, to take. So we want to possess it. So God's view of inheritance, and I'm going to tell you, and you're going to see, inheritance is very important to God. I printed out, must have been 8 pages of scriptures related to this topic. Just one word, one scripture after another. 8 pages. But inheritance is very important to God, but it's more than just something He gives. It's something He wants us to possess, to take it. Now, I want you to look at another scripture. Leviticus 20, 24. And if you can stay in the New King James or go back to it, that would help. Now, let me tell you two things about inheritance while she's getting there. You are an inheritance. Whose inheritance are you? Psalms, 2nd chapter, says, ask, and I'll give you the peoples. Talking about you and I. We are Jesus' inheritance. Now, that's glorious, and that'll fit in with what we're talking about today. But it also, the word also tells us that you have an inheritance. And it's not just an inheritance that we're waiting for. It's an inheritance we can possess today. In Leviticus 20, and I wanted to reinforce, felt I perceived the Lord wanted to reinforce this. Hence I've said to you, you are to possess their land, and I myself will give it to you to possess it. Now, the New King James here says to inherit it. So again, to inherit, to possess the land. And he's talking about, of course, the land of Canaan. Now, what was that land of Canaan for the Hebrew children? What did it represent? Did it represent going to heaven? No. It represented a place where they were going to be delivered from their enemies. It represented a place where provision was plentiful. It represented a place where they could go and live in peace. It represented a place where they went to be saved from the rest of their enemies. And we know from our studies here on Thursday morning, as well as teaching we get here at this church, that salvation, preservation, wholeness, soundness, including healing, provision, all of those things are included in salvation. So I want you to see that they've been told to go and possess that place of prosperity, of peace, of well-being, of health. Everything that they needed to be able to survive, it was promised to them in this land. And what this says to me is that's their inheritance. Now, if we look at one other scripture in the Old Covenant, in Psalm 37, and we're going to kind of skip through it, We're not going to look at every verse. We don't have time to. You can go back and do it. But I just want to set the table for the fact that the Lord, and we're going to start, we're going to cover a number of verses. We're going to start in verse 3. But I just want to set the table and emphasize the importance to the Lord, as spoken in this Psalm of David, of inheritance. Verse 3 starts out, and I'm just going to read phrases in here. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now go to 5, in the last part of verse 5. It says, trust also in him, and he will do it. So we have got to have that confidence, that trust. And then verse 7. Depending on your translation, it may say be still, or as in the case of New American Standard, it says rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, rest to me, remember we talked about entering into his rest to receive our healing back, in the early spring, late winter. But then it says, so rest is not as much just sitting and doing nothing, it is quit trying to get it, quit working for it. And then it says, wait patiently for him. And that word there for wait is not a word that means I'm just going to sit and do my thumbs around and around. It's a word which means focus. It's actually used about, in the Hebrew, about people who were dancers. And as they would twist and twirl, they had turn around, they had to really focus on what they were doing. So what is that telling us? Rest, be still in the Lord, looking, focusing on him. So I want to set the table with that. And then we go to verse 9. Those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. So this is giving us some hints of what we need to be doing to obtain our inheritance. Look at verse 11. The humble will inherit the land. Now, humble. Humble doesn't mean I go around thinking of myself as some low person. I'm just always putting myself down. To me, the epitome of humility is you saying, Father, I trust in you to the point that everything you say, I'm going to submit to it. Submitting to what he wants. That to me is the epitome of a humble man. Not my way, not your will. Not my will, but yours. And then look at verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the blameless. Now, is that you? And you need to nod yes, because you've been made righteous, your sins are forgiven, so you're in that category. And look what it says. Your inheritance will be forever. Now, don't look at forever as when I get to heaven. When did your forever start? Today. The day you were born again. So your inheritance is going to be here on this earth, and it's going to continue on throughout eternity. Look at verse 22. Those who are blessed by him will inherit the land. And I have written in my Bible, me, after that phrase. Are you blessed? If you're a born-again believer of Jesus, you are blessed. You may not see it, you may not think it, but it's just like Trey said, no matter what's going on in your life, you've got to see yourself as blessed. And when that happens, you're going to inherit that land where all of this provision is given to us. And then finally, in verse 34, wait for the Lord. Keep his way. And he will what? Exalt you to inherit the land. Now, I want you to remember this last one. He will exalt you to inherit the land. We're going to look at a scripture in a moment that talks about the fact that we've already been exalted. So that means if we've already been exalted, then we ought to be inheriting the land. Now I want you to look at a scripture in Joshua. And it's in chapter 18, and Emmy will start in verse 1. And this is a really, the scripture we're going to get to is really a key one for me, because years and years ago, the Lord showed me this scripture when I was vacillating, making a move to buy a home that I really felt like he was leading us to, because I didn't want to own two homes. And I'll just tell you, when I acted on it, the day we were supposed to make our first double payment, we closed on the other house. So this has been a very meaningful to me. Now this is after Joshua 14, obviously, that we looked at last week. Don't go there, but let me read you. We talked about Caleb, and we talked about the fact that he saw himself in the promise of that promised land. He saw himself living. And so 45 years after that promise came to him that he would get it, he stayed strong, and he got it this day. And it says, "So Moses swore on that day," this is Caleb's words, "Surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you followed the Lord your God fully." So this is coming after that. And look at what these verses tell us. "Then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up the tent of the meeting there so that the father could come down and talk to him. And the land was subdued before them." Next verse. "There remained among the sons of Israel seven tribes who had not divided their inheritance." So what this is telling us is very few of the tribes went and took the land that had been given to them. Now, this next verse is the key one. Look at the attitude of the Lord toward us, toward man who doesn't go in and take possession. So Joshua, and I think it's under the anointing of the Lord because it's in the scripture, said to the the sons of Israel, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you?" King James actually says, "How long will you be slack to take the land?" So the question for a lot of us today is, why aren't we taking the land? Now, if you were told, and I know you've heard this before, but it's worth saying again, that you had just inherited or had an inheritance of multi-million dollars coming to you, would you just sit around and wait for the lawyers to call you? You would go aggressively and what? Do everything you needed to do legally to possess it. And that's what I think the Lord wants us to do. So the question then becomes, why would one not take their inheritance? Well, one reason is ignorance. They may not know about it. And we know that as we're talking about healing, there are a lot of people who have no idea that the Lord wants to heal them. The other reason you might do it is because you've been taught that you can't go take that inheritance. For us today, pertinent to healing, people have taught, well, the Lord's going to heal who he wants to, and you can't believe that, you know, that happened back with the disciples and with Jesus so they could get the church established, but that's gone by the wayside. So wrong teaching is another reason why we wouldn't go and aggressively take. Some people, their heart just gets so hardened, so dull, that they just don't believe it even when it's taught. And most of the time, that's because they have some life experiences where they thought, well, I prayed and it didn't work. So that's another thing that will hinder us from going in and possessing our land. Another one that is a big one, and you hear my heart in this one, is that a lot of people aren't doers or receivers. They're just sitting waiting for things to be dumped on them. Well, if God wants to, he will, and I'm just going to wait and see. And if we take that attitude, then we're going to get that trip to heaven that Trey was referring to earlier. We don't want to just sit and wait and see. We want to aggressively go and take. And then finally, and I think this is a big one too, too many people have the wrong impression of the nature of our God. Remember the leper that came to Jesus and said, I know you can, talking about heal him of his leprosy, but what did he say? If you will. He knew he was capable, but he didn't know his nature. He didn't know his heart. And that's what I believe the Lord wants us to see today, is that these promises are his nature. They are his heart. God's desire is to treat you with such grace that it appears that you never ever sinned. That's how he wants to treat all mankind. And so we need to hear what we're talking about today, and I'm talking to myself too. Take that light in and let that light overcome the darkness that the devil has planted in our thoughts on all these wrong ways of thinking. So, let me tell you, this is not who we are. Now, I want you to go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And I'm just going to go over a number of scriptures that talk about us and our inheritance. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and we're going to start at the 11th verse. Paul writing says, and we desire that each of you show the same diligence. Now, we could stop and preach about that for a long time. This is saying now that we're going to have to be diligent. We're going to have to be committed. We're going to have to see this as important. We're going to have to pursue it. So we need to be diligent so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. And then he goes on to say that you may not be sluggish, slothful, some accounts say, but imitators of those who through faith and patience do what? Inherit the promises. So what this is telling us is that this inheritance, these promises are ours, but we're not to be slow about going to possess them. We're to be aggressive with it. We're to pursue it. And so this is who we are. Just confess this with me. I am not slow to go and possess my inheritance of all his promises. Let's say it again. I am not slow. I am not slack to go and possess by faith, but with my patience, and inherit the promises that you've been given. The right. You have the right, the access to them. Now, I want to look at 1 Samuel 2, verse 8. And in this account, it's Hannah, after her son had been born, and she's gone from being very downtrodden, even in the midst of depression, not being thankful. The Lord showed mercy on her, and she has a son. And look at what she says here in verse 8 in her prayer of thanksgiving. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and to inherit a seat of honor. Now, let me stop on that last one. A lot of translations don't say a seat of honor, but say, and make them inherit the throne of glory. The throne of glory is your inheritance. You were poor. You were part of the dust. You were needy. And you were on the ash heap looking for whatever you could find. But you've been made to sit on the throne of glory and inherit all that that glory represents. Now let me talk a minute about what that glory represents. Let me back up. In talking about that throne of glory, it's talking about us. Do you remember in Ephesians, second chapter, about verses 4, 5, and 6? It says, you were made alive in him. You were raised up in him. And what's the last one? You were seated with him at that throne of glory. Glory. What is the glory of God? The Hebrew word is kabod, which means weighty or a lot of substance to it. But how does God describe his glory? Let's look at Exodus, the 34th chapter, and we want to read a few verses here. Moses, who had seen more of the glory of God than any man to this point, was so impressed by it, he said, I want to see more. So we're in Exodus 34, verse 18. Then Moses, 33:18, I'm sorry. The chapter changes in my Bible, right at the top of that page. Then Moses said, I pray you, he's talking to the Lord, show me your glory. And I want you to look at what the Lord says. This is how he views his glory. So, and the Lord said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious, in other words, giving. That's his nature, to whom I'm going to be gracious. And will show compassion, on whom I will show compassion. Now don't read those last two phrases and think, well, I may be left out of there. He sent his son for all men. So we're included there. And then next verse. But he said, you can't see my face, for no man can live and see my face. And we'll go through 22. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about that while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of that rock and cover you with my hand until we've passed. Now, I want to talk about a couple of these verses. So the glory of God, how does the Father see his glory? Or what does he see it including? Obviously, he sees it including his goodness. I like what one pastor said on this verse that I made a note of back a ways. And it's talking about his glory. He said, it's the presence of God, the manifested presence of God, with everything good. The manifested presence of God with everything good. That is your inheritance to be seated there today. Now, if you can go back to verse 21, I want to talk about these next couple of verses for a moment. What is a cleft in a rock? And I think it's mentioned in 22. A cleft in a rock is a place that somehow has been cut out of that rock. Something has been removed. Might I say the rock has been wounded as that thing was removed? And where are we standing? Where was he standing in that rock, in that cleft? He was standing on the rock, on solid ground. So what are we seeing there? That when his goodness passed by, he's standing there in that rock. And I want to tell you, there's no healing without Jesus being wounded. And I know you're sitting there thinking, Jesus is the rock I stand on. And what I want you to see is this scripture gives us an indication that there's no healing unless there is a wounding. So even in the old covenant, we see the promises of healing. Look at how he's protected by his hand. Folks, this is our inheritance today. Today. Hebrews 1:14, you don't need to turn there, but it's talking about angels. It says, are they not ministering spirits sent to those who shall inherit salvation? Now, again, what does salvation include for us? Healing. So we know that this inheritance includes everything that we need on this earth. When you got born again, you didn't get born again just to get a ticket to heaven. You got born again so God could take you under his wing and guide you and provide everything you needed pertaining to life and godliness now. That is our inheritance. So what I want to do, what I feel like the charge I've been given in the remaining time, is we know that the word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Literally that's saying faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the anointed. So I might say faith comes by hearing and hearing the anointed word. And I believe the Lord has given us some scriptures this morning that are anointed and that will increase our faith to the point that we can act and go possess that inheritance that we have. So let's look at a couple of them. Let's start in Acts 20, the 32nd verse. Acts 20. Boy, she's fast. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give to you. Just what we said, wasn't it? We're going to be built up so we can receive what he's given. And look at what we're receiving. The inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, I want to say something to you about the children of Israel and see this tie. What does sanctified mean? Who are set apart. What happened? What was God's desire for Canaan, for the Hebrew people? For them to be set apart in a land of their own with no enemies around. But what did they not do? They did not drive out all the enemies. Now, I didn't know this until just now, to be honest with you, but I believe that's why the Lord is saying to us, he wants to heal things today where we've been told you're just going to have to live with it. The little things. We don't just have to live with it. They didn't have to live with it. Today, we're going to deal with it, and he's going to destroy that yoke, and that means it won't come back to you, and we've got word on that. So we're going to let his word work effectively in us. So now, Galatians 3:29. Galatians 3:29, and these are going to be all familiar scriptures. But I'm believing as we see these today with our eyes, that the Holy Spirit, we're going to hear with our spiritual ears, and we're going to have this revealed to our spiritual eyes so that it doesn't just get up here, it gets down in our heart. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Now, what is an heir? Dictionary says an heir is one who is entitled to inherit property or some other thing. If we remember how we defined inheritance earlier, I might say, I am an heir, one who is entitled to inherit my right and my divine portion. So the question is, for you and I, do we belong to Christ? So let's confess then, I belong to Christ. I am an heir of Abraham. According to the promise. All that was promised to Abraham is mine. Now, concerning Abraham, do you realize that the first person to pray for healing was Abraham? When he prayed for, who was it, Abimelech's wife? Because she couldn't give birth, and it says, and the Lord healed her. So as a part of your promises, you have the opportunity to minister healing to others. Not just receive it, but to minister it to others. If you think about the blessings and the curse in Deuteronomy 28, you're free from all those curses, and there's all kind of disease listed in there. That's part of our inheritance, to be free, to be set free from all of that. And let me tell you this. You didn't have to do anything. What does an heir do to earn being an heir? He's born. We're going to look at a scripture maybe next or one after that that says you are born into being an heir. But the part of this that I want to tell you is all the work was done by Jesus. Those first two verses in Deuteronomy 28, now it shall be that you shall hearken and obey and do and do and do and do and do right and only do right and don't do any wrong elsewise. We are an heir because Jesus did that. It's not based on our performance. You receiving your inheritance is not based on your performance. It's based solely on what you, when you believe Jesus, based on what he did. The Father said, justice is satisfied and I give the inheritance. Look at Ephesians 1. And I want to read a number of verses here. We're going to start with verse 3. And I want to do it and take the time to do it because as we read verses 3 through 10, really through 11, I want you to be looking in these scriptures for the nature of God to be revealed to you. Okay? So thinking about his nature as we read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Think of his nature now. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Now, if you look at 4, 5, and 6, us is in there every verse. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. More of his nature in verse 8. Which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he is making known to us the mystery of his will according to the kind intention which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In him also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of his works, all things after the counsel of his will. Now, when we study this, we need to ask, what is the verb in this sentence? Obtained. We have obtained. What tense is that? Past. So, this gift, this inheritance, this grace coming to us, this right or divine portion to receive healing has already been granted. And this says, if we're born again, we've obtained it. Let me say that another way. It's ours to act on. It's time to go possess the land. Now, let's look at another one. Galatians 4, 6, and 7. And while you're turning there, I want to read you just the first phrase of verse 11 in the complete Jewish Bible. It says, also, in union with him, we were given an inheritance. In union with him. Now, I want to go back to the cleft of the rock. That was cut out. But I've never done this. I've just read about it. I didn't, so I could say I'm the guy who was, what, stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. Because I've never done it, but I could. When you graft a branch of a tree into another tree, what do you do to that tree? You cut it. You wound it. And you insert it in there, and then what do? You bind it up. Millie, you've done that a lot with blueberry bushes, I bet. You bind it up. Does that remind you of what he did with Moses? He injured that rock. He set Jesus on that rock. And he covered him or protected him and bound him up with his hand. As what? As his goodness went by. Folks, that's how we are in Jesus. He was wounded for your healing. We've been engrafted into him in that wounding. It's been bound up. And so where are we getting our life from now? The new tree, the tree of life. That's where our healing flows from. It's not something we have to go try to get and bring to ourselves. We've already been engrafted and made into it. Now, you're at Galatians 4, so let me get there. Verse 6, and because you are sons, or I'll say are daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, therefore, you are no longer a slave. Now, stop there. The Lord first spoke to Moses to Abram about an inheritance in chapter 15 and verse 7. But in the next chapter, he tells him, when he's telling him about cutting covenant, and he says, you're going to inherit this land. Abram said back to him, how may I know that I inherit this land? I have no heir. Do you realize that? And don't listen to the heart of a God on this one. If Jesus hadn't asked for us, he wouldn't have an heir. Jesus saw you as so important. He didn't want to spend eternity in heaven without you. And he was willing to be wounded so we could be engrafted in. And it's by his stripes, by his wounds, that what? That we are healed. So here it says, we are an heir through God because what? We're a son. Now, how does this happen? 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. And if you don't want to turn, because we're going to go quickly through these, just write it down so you can study it later, because I don't want this to be something you just hear and walk out and forget. First Peter 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. So here we were on the ash heap, sitting in the dust. And we've been what? Born again. To what? To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the next verse. To obtain an inheritance. You were born again with the plan always being there for you to obtain the inheritance after you were born again. God's desire to treat mankind as if we'd never sinned. And this inheritance is imperishable, it's undefiled, and it will not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. Now, that's just not saying that your inheritance doesn't start until you get to heaven. It's those heavenly things. But we reach into that heavenly realm. We see into that realm that the Father lives in, and we take those things as we need them. Romans 8, 16. Just when you think it couldn't get any better. Our inheritance, his promise of healing, my right and my divine portion. Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God. And this says fellow heirs. King James says joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed suffer with him, that's not saying we suffer for anything that he's redeemed us from. The suffering is by the outside pressure and circumstances that come upon us from the enemy as we live in this cursed world. So what kind of heir are we? A joint heir. What is a joint heir? Well, let me describe this. My sister and I are heirs from my mom's will. She's still with us. We're not looking to inherit anything real soon. So what? When she passes, when she goes to her home going to heaven, then what she's left us in her will or her testament will become ours. How did it become ours? Because we were born into her family. But BJ and I are married. So when I inherit it, what mom gives me, she's a joint heir with me. You and I are a joint heir with Jesus. Everything that he inherited is mine, including you, which is why we're supposed to love one another just like the Father loves us. My concern is to be about you and your health as much as mine. That's this love that God has, this agape that he's placed inside us. Thus, when we read 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this earth today. Is Jesus fighting a cold? Has he got a little cut or wound that won't heal? Is there anything that is wrong with him? That's part of our inheritance because we are joint heirs. Placed in that wound, bound up with him. Last verse, Colossians 1, 12 and 13. I just trust that this is moving on the inside of you as strongly as it is me. Let's back up to verse 9, if we can. For this reason also, since the day we've heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Let me amplify that. Filled with the knowledge of his will of your inheritance in him. With the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay? So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might. Where is our strength coming from? From the tree into which we've been grafted in from. That branch, we're that branch. For the attaining of the steadfastness and patience. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. My inheritance is no different than yours. This is an inheritance that we share in. And finally, verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. Now, I didn't even remember this was in here when I spoke the John 1 scripture today. And we've been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We've been transferred to a kingdom of light where our inheritance rests. And that kingdom of darkness has been dispelled. Folks, this is ours. Let's not be slack in pressing in to obtain it. Let's not get frustrated when we stepped in the land and everything didn't disappear before us just like we wanted to. It said they inherited this through their faith and their patience. A better word is perseverance. Through their faith and their perseverance. So now, let's go back to what the Lord shared. If there are any of you who have been told by medical personnel that you're just going to have to live with it, then we want to lay hands on you. And Trey and I would welcome the opportunity to do that. Big things, tiny things. And today I believe the Lord is, let me read you a verse. Thank you, Lord. This is in the book of Nahum. And it starts in the first chapter and the seventh verse. If you says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Now, I want you to have a different view of taking refuge. I want you to see that wound, and I want you to see yourself being put in there and bound up. Next verse. But with an overflowing flood, talking about the Lord, he will make a complete end of its site. The site there is the site of the enemy to the children of Israel. And he will pursue his enemies into darkness. So the Lord, this is saying he's going to make a complete end of the problems that are plaguing the people when they are placed in that wound and take their inheritance. Verse 9, and then he says to the enemy, whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Distress will not rise up twice.